Bay Hills Community Church is pleased to have you with us for a very special message. Our speaker today is illusionist Jim Monroe. Jim tells us that a lot of people think life is random, while others think life is on purpose. As an illusionist, he likes to get people to think about that which they're experiencing, but they can't see. Listen as we're reminded that it is possible for us to have two sets of eyes, one natural and the one that Christ wants to give us.
Right, Pastor Dave. Thanks, man. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, you guys are already way cooler than 9 o'clock. It's awesome. My name is Jim Monroe, and I'm an illusionist, magician, whatever floats your boat, whatever you want to call me. I do a show called The Maze. The Maze travels all over the world, actually. We've had the unique opportunity to share the gospel mostly on college campuses up until this point, very secular university college campuses. We've been to Stanford. I've shared the gospel at Berkeley. And so, and it works. Lots of people are getting saved at those places. So, it's awesome. But it's the same guys that helped do like Chris Angel's show and David Blaine's show and David Copperfield's show. Those guys are the same guys that help us with our show. We have this 32-foot trailer that we brought all the way out here with all this stuff in it. Can we give them a little taste, Stu, of what they're going to see a little bit of tonight? Yeah, so it's a little bit crazy. You're going to enjoy it. You want to bring your friends. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. The people that would never darken the doorstep of a church in particularly are the ones you want to try and get here. But it's going to be fantastic. Can I just show you a couple things? Yeah? These are just teasers. These are appetizers. They're not going to happen tonight, but I thought, why not? Hi, what's your name?
Alex.
Alex, come on up here. Everybody give Alex a round of applause. Alex, do you know what these are?
Cards.
Good. Glad you're in church. All right. Awesome. You know what this is called, right?
Shuffling,
yeah. And so the cards are mixed. I'm going to actually cut these a couple times, and I want you to kind of give them. I want you to cut them, too. You can give them a cut so that, yeah. And there's the complete the cut. And here's what I want you to do. From the center of where you cut or from anywhere, I just want you to pull like a chunk, like maybe 5 to 10 cards. Just take a chunk and do me a favor, keeping one for yourself, all right? I want you to kind of distribute those up and down the aisle here. If you get a card from, what's your first name again?
Alex,
if you get a card from Alex, stand to your feet and just hold it up against yourself, just like this, okay? So if you get a card from Alex, stand to your feet and hold it up against yourself so that not even I can see the back of it. Yeah, make sure, and Alex, why don't you go down there as well? Just stand to your feet if you got a card and just hold the card up against yourself like this so that I can't see the back of it, because everyone in here has seen what we call marked cards. I don't want you to think the cards are marked, because they're not. Excellent. So this is there's just 6 of you. For those of you who are standing, what I want you to do right now is just begin to think of your card just over and over and over again. Your mind kind of blow it up like a big picture in your head and just kind of look at me. Yeah? And if you have a question about the value of your card, maybe you can ask the person next to you. That puppy feet is called a club. All right? Just so you know. Just think of the card over and over and over again and just kind of send it to me. Which one of you has the 7 of clubs? Go ahead and hand it to me. Where are you? Do you know what the 7 of clubs looks like? Okay, just keep thinking of it over and over and over. Hold on, look at me. Sorry, that was the 8 of clubs. Which one of you has the 8 of clubs? Oh, that's perfect. Okay, sorry. Yeah, you need to think a little bit more intensely this time. Okay, yeah, just 6 of spades. Which one of you has the 6 of spades? Is that you? Yeah, thank you so much. Very good. Keep thinking of the cards over and over and over again. King of hearts, yeah? Who has it? Yeah, thank you so much. Keep thinking of it. 2 of hearts, yeah? Which one of you 2? Yeah, very good. And then 6 of diamonds, yeah? Thank you so much. And keep thinking of it. 3 of diamonds, yeah? Give these guys a big round of applause as they make their way to their seats. All right. Where did I put my card box? Great. He can make the Statue of Liberty disappear, but he can't find his own card box. Okay, good. No, it's right here. Awesome. Anybody in here married?
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at all the guys like, yeah. All the girls like, yes! If you are married, have you been married for less than 5 years? Hold your hands up. Less than five? How about less than three? Oh, all okay. Less than three. What's is your husband here? He's not. Okay. Well, less than two. Are you both here? The two. What's your name? Sorry, Clarice. And your name, sir? Stephen. Kevin. Clarice and Kevin. Less than 2 years. How long have you been married? 1 year, April 2nd. So not even a year. Oh, this is perfect. Clarice and Kevin, come on up here. Everybody give them a huge round of applause. Come on up. He's like, oh, why did I have to raise my hand? Clarice and Kevin, don't worry. It's been great. Thank you so much. Yeah, as quick as you can. So 1 year, April 2nd. This is fantastic. And Clarice, hi, stand right here for me. Nice to meet you. I'm Jim. Pleasure. And you're Kevin? Stand right over here for me. Awesome. Okay, so whether you guys know this or not, when you get married, as you become more married over time, you begin to synchronize more so than... How many people have been here for like 30, married for like 30 years? Anybody in here? 30 years? Over there. You begin to think each other's thoughts and feel each other's feelings, right? No? You even dress the same? You sit across from each other on the aisle, apparently. That's that gets some space. All right. Take two steps to the left here. So what we're going to do is just kind of measure the synchronicity between the two of you, because, you know, as married people, we begin to kind of think each other's thoughts and feel each other's feelings. So why don't you just kind of turn back to back just like this. Very good. And very good. So that's awesome. Okay. And I'm going to use this. This is an alarm clock courtesy of the Holiday Inn Express. Don't tell them I have this. This is in the handicap room. That's why it's big. I want you to notice that this is a real alarm clock. The hours and the minutes change on here. Do you see that? Inspect this. Make sure that is, in fact, what it is. There's no secret trapdoors, dancing girls, smoke and mirrors, anything inside the alarm clock. Kevin, I'm going to have you think of any random time of day here in just a second. And when I say random time of day, I want you to think of a time of day that you may have never actually said out of your mouth before. So don't think of like 5:30 or 8 o'clock. I want you to think of a random time of day, like 2:27 or something like that. Does that make sense? But think of 12-hour time, not 24-hour time. Fair enough? Excellent. All right. And what I'm going to have you do is Clarice, I'm going to have you hold this up against yourself so that not even you know the time of day upside down. And you're going to put your thumb on the hours and the minutes just like this. And you're going to hold this up against yourself just like that. In just a second, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And I want you to just begin to rattle off buttons, hours, minutes, hours, however you feel like you should go. All right. There are exactly 720 different times of day on a 12-hour alarm, a 12-hour clock, right? 12 times 60, right? So in just a second, Kevin, I'm going to have to say 1, 2, 3, go. She's going to start clicking numbers, but I want you to send the digits that you're thinking of in your mind, your time of day, to Clarice, all right? Whether we all know this or not, we all communicate to each other subconsciously sometimes, and we're hoping that Clarice can kind of pick up on what you're sending her in and of the fact that you guys have been married for just less than a year. We'll see if this works, okay? So, Kevin, on the count of three, start sending. Clarice, start clicking. 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, just continue. I want to hear buttons moving. Yeah, hours, minutes, hours. Continue, yeah, over and over and over again. Very good. And, Kevin, turn up your volume in your head to 11. Perfect. All right. Just shout it in your mind over and over and over again, the time of day. Yes. Very, very good. Continue to click. Continue to click. And on the count of three, you're both going to stop. 1, 2, 3. Stop right there. Excellent. We'll get to this in just a second. All right. Let's turn up the, we'll turn up the volume here a little bit. What I want you to do, kind of turn towards the audience and just hold hands for me. Hold hands. Aww. Take one step apart if you wouldn't mind. Hold hands. Very good. Right. And on the count of three, I want you to close your eyes tightly for me. Just kind of close your eyes. Very good. Yes. Really tight. And as your eyes are both closed, I want you to think of any color from a Crayola crayon box. Any color at all. All right. And on the count of three, I'm going to have open your eyes. 1, 2, 3, open your eyes. And you can go ahead and stop holding hands. We'll see how close we got. What color were you thinking of?
Pink.
Pink. What color were you thinking of? Pink. You see how that works? Good job, man. Take one more step this way. This time, instead of holding hands and thinking of a color, I'm going to have you close your eyes again. We'll try this again. I'm going to have you close your eyes again, but this time, keep them open right now. It's okay. And this time, instead of thinking of a color, I want you to memorize and remember everything that you feel while your eyes are closed. By shutting off your sight or turning off one of your senses, I want you to amplify your sense of touch. I want you to memorize and remember everything that you feel once your eyes are closed. And don't lie about it, okay? Do you understand? Do you understand? On the count of three, close them tight. Here we go. One, two, three, close them tight. Really, really, really tight. All right. With your eyes closed, if you felt something touch you, go ahead and raise your right hand. Your right hand. If you felt something touch you while your eyes were closed, raise your right hand, all right? All right, go and put your hands down. I'm going to ask you the same question, just a different way, okay? With your right hand, go ahead and point to the spot where you just felt something touch you. With your right hand, point to the spot. Would you say it was like right here? Yeah. It's like back here? Right back here? Right? Okay, very good, yeah? All right, go and put your hands down. Go and put your hands down. Yeah, and one more time. All right, put your hands down again. Yeah, don't do anything. Just wait for my call here. On your fingers right now, on your fingers, go ahead and show everybody how many times you felt something touch you. With your right hand, put up your fingers. How many times? Yeah, go ahead with your right thing. All right. Well, I'm a magician, not Jesus. Okay, yeah, let's go. All right, open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Okay, listen. They're freaking out because I never touched you. They were watching me the entire time. I was touching your boyfriend over here, and you felt it, right? What, he is your boyfriend and your husband. They can be both. Right, 30-year-old married man who sits that far away from his wife. Okay, good. You know what really kind of freaked you out, though, I think, because I know you maybe think this is mumbo-jumbo. I think all these Christians are lying to you at the same time. That's okay. What time of day were you thinking of on your mental alarm clock a little earlier? What time was it? 11:52. Now, you could have said 1:18, 2:27, but you said what? 11:52. Right? All right, so 1 in 720, not so, those are very high odds, all right? But here's the thing, to measuring synchronicity, sometimes this is done, but if you walk over there and we're within 10 minutes, right, with him sending you those numbers and you just kind of subconsciously moving digits, within 10 minutes, I think we've got a fantastic match between the two of you, right? I've never been dead on accurate, so don't get too excited, okay? That never happens before. But if you happen to be dead on accurate, then you guys should definitely do what married people do after the show tonight. Just kidding. But do me a favor. Walk over there. Turn around. See how close we got. Yeah. Walk over. Turn that clock around. Let's see how close we got. What does that say? Is it within 10 minutes? 11:52. It's still inaccurate. Congratulations. Everybody give these guys a big round of applause. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Can I have a seat? Nice to meet you, Clarice. All right. Can we do one more? Is that okay? You got, oh, that was cool. All right. I'm going to go home now. Bye. See you. Can we do one more? Is that okay? Yeah. So once again, these are just little appetizers. See, everybody right now, I want you to think of your first name. Everyone right here, think of your first initial, the letter that start your first name. And I want you, this is kind of crazy, but I want you to send it to me. It's a J. I'm getting strong J, like from right in here. If your name starts with letter J, put your hands up just like this. Yeah. Just like this. If your name starts with the letter J anywhere in this building, put your hands up just like this. Yeah? Great. All right. Now, with these who are the sands up, I want you to think of your second initial, the letter that starts your last name. And I want you to think of that. Your second initial, the letter that starts your last name. M. You're thinking of an M. Right? Look at me. Have we ever met before? What's your first name? Julie? Julie, why don't you come on up here? Everybody give Julie a big round of applause. Come on. Julie, come right over here for me. Awesome. As quick as you can. Fantastic. Everyone loves Julie. Look at this. Hi. How are you?
I'm great.
My name's Jim.
My name's
Julie. Nice to meet you, Julie. Let's try something here. I have with me a deck of playing cards. Let's try this here. Here's what I want you to do. So a lot of people think that life could be random, right? That life is random. Other people think that life might be purposed. That there might be something going on behind the scenes of the existence we experience every single day with our five natural senses alone. See, why I like using illusion is for one reason and one reason only. You're able to kind of get people to think about that which they know they're experiencing but they cannot see, right? So what's interesting about that to me is like there's things perhaps that are going on all the time all around us. then all the seemingly random things that we think we're experiencing with our five natural senses are just a small picture of what may be really happening to us all the time. Does that make sense? Excellent. So with these, let's try something here. Let's see here. I brought two decks up here, and this isn't the right one. Hold on a second. Let's use this one right here. Okay, cool. Okay, so Julie, come on over here with me. You'll notice here that, have you ever played cards before? No? Okay, so the cards are kind of arranged in a certain order, and also many times when you play with them, you can see that they can kind of get mixed up. Great. I'm sweating up here. This magician, this is magic tricks gone wrong here in just a second. Oh my gosh, that didn't get set up correctly. You know what? Just go back to your seat. I'll work on you later. We'll try it again. Anyway, everybody give her a big round of applause. Thank you so much. What the hell happened? I had, I've done two shows so far today, and I didn't have the right deck of cards. So, yep. Well, great. And now anybody who thought I was a real magician can just say he's just an illusionist. All you crazy Christians out there, it's not real magic tricks, okay? Very good. Well, listen, tonight, like I said before, our show is called The Maze, and it's going to be fantastic. And the story that I get to share along with it is something that we've got the chance to travel the world and share, and it's something that even the Reverend Billy Graham used in the last evangelistic address of his life. And it's something that happened to me a few years ago, and it's something that literally millions and millions of people have heard. And like I said, we're using it on college campuses, and it's saving people's lives. And so I was going to give you a little quick tease of what that is today, but I also wanted to share with you one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Because when you talk about being an illusionist or a magician, like I said, you deal in two realities at the same time. You've got the one that your audience is experiencing, and you have one that's actually going on behind the scenes. And in the spirit of entertainment, you're attempting to create wonder. That's the whole purpose of having the two versions of the same story happen at the same time. There's one that you're experiencing and one that you know is going on behind the scenes, right? And if the magic is any good, unlike me bringing up the wrong deck of cards up here, your mind gets blown and you're left with this aha moment where you're like, how did you do that, right? And what's interesting, that was one of the questions that people asked Jesus. They get blown away by what he did, and immediately they're in this place of intellectual humility. Who is this guy, right? I can't process this. I can't put it into words, my rationale, right? And so if you have your Bibles with you, go open up to Mark chapter 8. I have this, this is my favorite passage of Scripture, and if I ever get a chance to share it, I do. Mark chapter 8 in your Bibles. This is Jesus' ministry in Mark 8, and it's at this really cool time. Jesus is, he's in Mark, the beginning of Mark chapter 8. In my Bible, there's these big, bold letters that say 4,000 fed. So he's just fed 4,000 people. Supernaturally. Everyone knows that story, right? And then immediately after that, I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, kind of contextualize the story that I'm getting ready to share. Immediately after feeding these 4,000 people, these Pharisees and Sadducees approach him, and they basically start an argument with him because they don't like who he is, essentially, right? And so he's just fed all these people, he's done a miraculous work, and then he's got these people that start disagreeing with him. And he says this, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod in verse 15. He's telling his disciples who are hanging out with him, these Pharisees, they can't see what I'm trying to do. They can't understand what it is that's happening here all around them, right in front of them. In essence, what he's saying is much like an audience member watching an illusion, right? Can't put together the pieces of how this is working, graph the logic together and create an explanation for how this is in the same way. He's like, This is what's happening to them, and they're getting very frustrated by it. As soon as he says that, his disciples, who are basically knuckleheads, are there any knuckleheads in here? I'm a total knucklehead, right? He's got these guys following him around, and they're also trying to put it all together. And he starts the most incredible ministry organization in the world, the Christian church, with these 12 guys who are just kind of like, they're not the greatest, they're not the smartest, they didn't go through all of Hebrew school, right? They're just these guys, and they're trying as hard as they can. But they think when he says to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees that he's really talking about bread. And so all of a sudden they're like, wait, is he upset? Because does he think we're in this boat with them and he doesn't think we have any more bread? And Jesus is like, you guys, listen, I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about something else going on here. And he begins to say, verse 17, Jesus, aware of this, aware of their inability to kind of put two and two together, he says, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? So essentially he's saying, do you get this? Can you hear what I'm trying to do? I wasn't talking about this. I was talking about something else. I was talking about something else, right? So immediately he gets out of the boat. This is the very next piece that I want to share with you. This is the story that I love sharing with people in that context. And the supernatural thing, Pharisees start arguing with him. His disciples don't know what he's talking about. And so in an effort to demonstrate exactly what he's talking about, he rolls into this town called Bethsaida. And picking up on verse 22, and they came to Bethsaida and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? So Jesus, a blind man, takes him by the hand, walks him outside of the village, has him kneel down, and he spits on him, which is kind of interesting. King of Kings and Lord of Lords spitting on you, right? He spits on him and puts his hands on him, on his eyes, and says, do you see anything? And then the guy says this. He says, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. This blind guy says, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. So he was experiencing something, right? It wasn't like he was just trying to conjure. He's trying to explain what he was experiencing, right? He said, I see men like trees walking around. Now, I've heard a lot of pastors teach this. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this verse, and the immediate thing that people begin to say is, well, maybe the guy didn't see clearly initially because, I don't know, perhaps he didn't have enough faith. Or I heard one guy saying, well, man, Jesus, even in his humanity, potentially needed a little more faith himself, right? Which is not true. But he said, he opened the guy's eyes, and the guy said he saw trees walking around. Now, what is this? What is happening here? If you go to the very first story in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, go turn there with me very quickly, if you would. Genesis chapter 3, this is good stuff I'm getting ready to tell you. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are in the garden, the serpent comes, and what was the temptation of the serpent? What was the temptation of Satan in the garden? 9 times out of 10, when I talk to somebody about this, the first thing they say is, well, that he offered them fruit, and if they ate of the fruit, then they were going to get in trouble. God said not to eat of the fruit, right? And then some people say, well, they're a little bit more scholarly, and they're like, well, he said if you eat of the fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. That's also true. But check this out. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. So the enemy says, doesn't just say, if you eat this, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. What he says is if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened. That was the initial temptation. If you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened. What does that mean? Does that mean that Adam and Eve are walking around the garden with their eyes closed? Can you imagine Adam and Eve walking around in the garden with their eyes closed, and if they eat of the fruit, their eyes will be open? No. What the enemy was talking about was this version of reality that would be exposed to them by their natural eyes alone. I'll say that again. It was a version of their reality, the world that they're piecing together with their 5 natural senses, that would be exposed without the knowledge of God. And so what happens is they eat the fruit, and the Bible is very clear. It says the second they do, it says their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. It's like Neo and the Matrix. Sorry for the terrible 1999 movie reference, but like Neo in the Matrix, they began to see things completely differently. Shame came on them, and they stepped into this world, philosophically, reality, this like deep stuff, right? Where they began to see things differently. So when Jesus opened the guy's eyes in Mark chapter 8, and he asked the guy, what do you see? I believe that Jesus was touching this guy's eyes, and he was opening up his spiritual sight first. Everybody say, I have 2 sets of eyes. One natural and one spiritual. When Jesus touched this blind man's eyes, He began to see in the Spirit. You're like, well, how do you know? Do you know what the number one illustration in Scripture is of a man? The number one illustration used in all of Scripture for a man is that of a tree. It's that of a tree. Psalm 1, he will be like a tree planted by living streams of water who leaves them not wither. In every good season, he will bear good fruit, right? Think about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. He was talking about a Pharisee who had this beautiful tree but would not produce any fruit. Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. So when this guy, when Jesus opened this blind man's eyes and he said, I see men like trees, he was actually experiencing something where he, because Jesus was with his disciples, he was seeing trees. He was seeing a different picture of the story because Jesus was the one who was opening his spiritual sight. He then says, later on, Jesus touched him a second time and the guy's eyes came open and he saw clearly. He opened his spiritual sight and then he opened up his natural sight. You have two ways of seeing every circumstance of your life. One by the Spirit and one by the flesh. One by what God's intending and one by the flesh. How do I know this? A few years ago, I was doing a show at the University of Maine, and this is part of the story you're going to hear tonight. You need to bring your friends, and this is the one that everyone likes to hear. But I got a chance. I was doing a show at the University of Maine, and while at the University of Maine, this really intense pain started in my right leg. I remember getting done with the show and flying home. And while I got home, I was just really pale. My wife and I decided I need to go to the doctor, so I went to the ER. And this doctor walked into my room one morning. He looked at me. He said, "Mr. Minow, you have cancer." I said, "What?" He said, "You have leukemia." And he said, "It's blown out of control." He said, "You are going to die in 2 months." I said, "Yeah, what?" Right? And I got to be honest with you. My faith growing up wasn't anything stellar. I'm a very intellectual person. I like knowing facts rather than feelings, right? I like questions better than answers. And I had a really hard time with this idea of God and Jesus. I was self-proclaimed atheist, agnostic in college. So when this happened to me, I just kind of it was just a more evolved organism on the inside of me that was killing me from the inside, right? My wife and I decided we tried the best that we could to fight this, so we went to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. And a long story, incredibly short, I was sitting in that cancer hospital, and God, it's hard to explain this, but God opened my eyes. In the deepest, darkest moment of my existence, he opened my eyes, and here's how. The only cure for my cancer, this guy said, "We're going to give you chemotherapy, but there's no cure for the kind of cancer you have." He said, "You have this thing called Philadelphia positive ALL. We're going to try to put you into remission, but we're 99% sure it's going to come back. And then we're going to have to give you more chemo. And then the cancer is going to come back. Chemo cancer. He said, "One of them is going to kill you." He said, "But there's this thing we like to try." How many of you know it's not a good thing when a doctor says they want to try something on you, right? So what is it? He said, "There's this procedure. It's called a bone marrow transplant." I hope you can kind of sit in my place right here in this moment, like live vicariously through my story. Because these, I don't know if bells went off or just this new understanding of reality happened. But in this moment, I began to see with spiritual sight. The prayers of everybody who had been praying for me just happened in a moment, in an instant. This guy looked at me, he said, "The problem with you is you need a bone marrow transplant." I said, "What is that?" He said, "The problem with you is your blood. It's poison on the inside of you. It's venom in your veins. It's destroying you from the inside out." He said, "We have to wipe out your white blood cell system, essentially making like an AIDS patient." I said, "Okay." He said, "But because you cannot live without a white blood cell system," he said, "we have to find someone in the world whose DNA matches yours close enough. And if we can find this person, we're going to substitute that person's perfect blood on your behalf so that you can live again." And I was like, "Come again? Substitution of blood on your behalf so that you can live again." And I remember thinking to myself, that sounds like Jesus. I thought I was like on this really interesting episode of like Christian Twilight Zone, right? I said, well, where do we find this person? He said, "Well, there's this international database called the National Marrow Registry. So there's 9 million people on this database." Long story short, they got back to me soon after and they said, out of those 9 million people, there's one person that we know of in the world. How many of you know that there is one person in the world that can save you of your ish by their blood, right? So I said, "Well, who is this person?" And they said, "Well, we can't tell you who it is." And long story short, they dripped this new blood on the inside. They had to kill off the old man. They destroyed the old man to make way for the new. They dripped this news. These nurses and doctors told me that on April, they said, your bone marrow transplant scheduled for April 23rd. Everyone say that. Say April 23rd. They said on April 23rd, you're going to get a brand new blood system. They said on April 23rd, you were going to, this Jewish doctor actually said this. He said, you're going to be like a baby inside your mother's womb being born again. He was quoting the New Testament to me and didn't know it, right? And they brought this stuff. They put it on the inside of me on April 23rd. And it's literally no longer I who live. It's someone else who lives on the inside of me today. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in this other person's life. When they look at the inside of me today, they see XX chromosomes, right? That's weird if you know science at all. It means I'm a 19-year-old girl on the inside, right? But that's what's literally happened. And now what's even crazier is, like, you know, my new birthday is April 23rd. They said you get to celebrate two birthdays for the rest of your life. This is April 23rd. I said, that's cool. But my natural birthday, the day I was born, Fullerton Hospital, St. Jude's Hospital, Fullerton, California, was April 20th. So the difference between the old man and the new life is literally on the third day. I came back from the dead because the only blood on the planet that can save me my disease. But then the craziest part is this. I ended up getting a chance to meet this Savior. Didn't know if I'd ever get a chance to. Her name is Janelle. Do you know what the word Janelle means? All of your names have meanings. You know this, yes? Her name was Janelle. The word Janelle literally means the grace of God. So is the perfect blood from the grace of God substituted on my behalf by the only person in existence who could save me my disease, so much so that a Jewish doctor told me I was literally born again on the third day, right? Now, for all of the skeptics out there, me being used to be one of them, you have to ask this question. It's like, which set of eyes will you choose to walk, to listen, to see through, to perceive with, right? You can choose the natural set. You can. I still talk to people about this story all the time. They cannot argue with me. They can disagree with me, but they cannot argue with me. Because the likelihood of this happening to somebody is like being bit by a shark and struck by lightning at the same time twice in the same lifetime, right? It's your statistical anomaly. That's what they say. There couldn't be any God-breathed moment. There's nothing supernatural going on. You're just that statistical anomaly that continues to propagate religion. Or you might have to believe what I believe to be true, and that is that there is a God. His name is Grace. His name is the grace of God, Jesus. He loves you very much, and he orchestrated a symphony on your behalf so that he could reveal himself to you in a way that you could completely understand, so that you would turn, stop living for yourself, and place your faith in him, right? Thank you. Yeah. So listen, you have two sets of eyes, one natural and one that Christ wants to give to you. So when you look at your marriage today, right? I'm going there. When you look at your marriage today, maybe with your spouse who, I mean, I've been there. I've been in interesting situations with my spouse, right? We, at one point, we're on the verge of divorce. Will you choose to see it through Christ's vision for your life, right? When you look at that relationship that you're with and that you're in right now, you single people, are you looking at it through the filter, the lens that Christ has given you for your life? Think about this. I just talked to a guy the other day. He'd been addicted to alcohol for 12 years. Got a revelation from Jesus about what he was supposed to do. Tried everything. AA, his family, all that stuff. He sat literally last week at a bar in the middle of the airport and stood in front of all these drinks. And he said he had zero desire to have any of them. That, you know, that is Jesus' spiritual vision for his life, right? There are two ways to see every circumstance. And I want to tell you today that if you ask him, he will show you how to see your specific instant, your specific circumstances through his vision, all right? How do you get this? Did you just ask him? Yes, but this is really, I think this is the coolest part of this story. If you go back to Mark 8, just really quickly, this is one, I don't know, this is just really cool, especially for me right now, because I'm preaching to myself a little bit right now. What did the blind man do? Here he is, a blind man. He doesn't have a perception of reality the way that everybody else does. Obviously, he would love to just be able to see, right? Jesus brings him out. He says, what is this? He said, verse 23, 8:23, taking the blind man by the hand. Taking the blind man by the hand. At some point, if you take Jesus by the hand and you don't let go, he will take you to the place where he will show you exactly how he wants you to see your circumstances. And I know that sounds oftentimes so simple and just so cliche, right? Especially for what I call the deep thinkers out there. But it's so absolutely true. And you can try as long as you want to try and figure and kind of create some kind of meaning for yourself in the world in which you live. But at the end of the day, the only real true meaning for your existence is that of Jesus Christ and what he has for you. And when you're done swimming through all the other stuff, all the other ideologies, all the other versions of your story, at some point when you're ready, you can take him by the hand and he will show you exactly how he wants you to perceive your existence. Amen? Can I pray for you before we go? Is that cool? All right. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these awesome people and this awesome church. I've only been here for a few hours. I'm really encouraged. I'm thankful, God, for pastoral staff, all you're doing here. Jesus, I ask you right now to just fill our hearts. God, I thank you for the people in here this morning, and particularly who are having a hard time maybe understanding the situation that they're in. It's their job, their finances, their marriage, Father, their relationships. God, I know because of your word that you are clear. You want us to take you by the hand and to trust you, God, that you will take us where we need us to be, and you will open up the reality of our spiritual eyes so that we can see exactly where you are in this situation. Father, I thank you for every set of ears. I thank you for every heart that's understanding right now. And I thank you, God, for the awesome opportunity to be here this morning with them. Encourage these faithful in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
It's our hope that today's podcast has enriched your life and answered questions you may have had. If you'd like more information about what was said in this podcast or about Bay Hills Community Church, you can reach us on the internet at www.bayhills.net. Bay Hills, located in El Sobrante, California, exists to help everyone take their next step closer to Jesus. Thanks again for listening.